Welcome everyone on this fourth or third day of May, or evening, 2023, fourth or fifth day of the week. Glad we can be together again. Praise the Lord that the internet's back and up and running. Didn't last long, the breakdown last week. Praise God, it was over with. And also that my websites had all been down. They're back up and running. There's still a few glitches though, but thank God they're up and running too. Any sort of opportunity that one soul can be blessed, that's what it's worth. It's worth it all. The attitude of Jesus for us all. He died if even only one should be saved. I want to share a small story with you. With you all. Researchers from the Semmelweis Medical University Budapest and University of Texas Medical School studied facial expressions of infants. Babies between 3 and 4 weeks of age exhibited fear when presented with frightening stimuli. Well, no wonder, right? A few months later, first form of anxiety appears. Separation anxiety, a developmentally appropriate reaction in infants 6 to 12 months of age. It seems fear and anxiety form part of our very existence. But why? How so? What's the cure? Imagine a world where there's no danger, no fear, no anxiety, no depression. That's the very world God is preparing us. And of course, it is the world that he did prepare us, and it was ruined. The words fear not appear over 100 times in the Bible. So what does God tell us to do with fear and anxiety? Indeed, that's probably a lot more than what we're going to share right now. You've got over 100 times in the Bible it's mentioned. So it's lots. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, Philippians 4:6. Job said once, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job 13, verse 15. Why did he say that? Job understood God has reasons and purposes that are beyond our comprehension. It's not for us to question him. He also knew he could trust God. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Cure for fear is trust. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. I will not fear. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. Psalm 56, 3 to 4 and verse 11. In me, you may have peace. John 16, 33. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. We may feel and be tempted to fear, but let's just trust him anyway. Chosen for tonight's song, or today's song, I'm in American mode. And welcome, Brother Joel. You're in the very early mode. Glad you could join us. And it's a song that, where's Mr. Kent Hovind? Christian apologist. Let me see. Fill me now. Yeah, I think this one. Yeah. If it's going to work, wonderful. So it's called Fill Me Now. And what above all things do we want to be filled with as Christians? Jesus said that we ask of the Father, he will give you it. Even the Holy Spirit. If anyone knows this song or is learning it, would like to take up a verse, please feel free to do so. I'll take the first verse and we'll see how we go. Father, O me holy Spirit, bathe my trembling heart and brow. Fill me with thy helpful presence. Come, oh come, and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh come, and fill me now.
Thou canst fill me, gracious Spirit, though I cannot tell thee how. But I need thee, greatly need thee. Come, oh come, and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh come, and fill me now.
I am weakness, full of weakness, at thy sacred feet I bow. Blessed, divine, eternal Spirit, fill with power and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh come, and fill me now.
Cleanse and comfort, bless and save me. Bathe, oh bathe my heart and brow. Thou art comforting and saving. Thou art sweetly filling now. Fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, oh come, and fill me now.
Amen. And that promise is fulfilled every single moment of our lives as we look up and believe and trust and follow. He woos us, he gives us the power, and he will fulfill that which he's performed in you will he do unto the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we continue into the word of God. And if you'd like to all join me, we'll do that now. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for hearing our prayers, for answering our prayers better than we ask or think. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to have a desire to share with you and not withhold anything. We want the things of God to be ours. Jesus, you bought us with the extreme price. There's not something more that could be done to buy us. Help us present and show that that is really true, and help people consider in light of this great love of God that there's no love that can match it, that even comes close to it. What more could God do than he has done, is doing, and will do for the one who, instead of saying, I don't trust God, starts saying, maybe I'm the one I can't trust. Maybe it's the problem's with me. Thank you, Spirit, for sending this conviction to every human being as well, and giving them the free will to choose whether they'll acknowledge their sin or no. Now, act like nobody's perfect as an excuse for continuing in their sins. Jesus, you are perfect throughout your whole life, every stage. That's why you're our Savior, and we'd love for more people to get to know you as their Savior and friend. One who loves the sinner but hates sin because it cannot live at all in truth, and it will not live forever. And that's fantastic news. And as we're transitioning to chapter 21 of Revelation, help us see the beauties of the hereafter. And also, in a spiritual sense, recognize that renovation that's going to happen literally on this earth and the heavens, the heaven, that renovation's going now. It must go on for us now in the kingdom of grace that started and begun in us, a good work which you have started in us. That he who hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ might be fulfilled in us constantly, even though the outward person gets older, feebler. And we thank you for the wake-up calls and realities that you send home to us. Someone can be perfectly well, and the next day they're either told that they've got very little time to live and they are totally unlike the person they once were. We're all getting older, but what a blessing we're getting older, not alone. What a blessing we don't have to get alone. We don't have to grow older alone without God aiding and instructing and living on his blessings that he intends for us instead of our own wisdom, which is not really wisdom, but it's regarded highly by human beings. You're so good to us. We uphold dear Matt's circumstances, his father, that the shortness of time, he might see how good you've been to him, how gracious, and how this is not going to change on your part, but he can miss out on all this and much more by refusing to acknowledge the truth. Please help him realize that he loses everything to deny the truth. But if it's not really true, even though all of it leads that way, that Jesus is the truth and the observable evidence agrees with the written, revealed word, he'll lose everything if he doesn't choose life in Christ and follow his blessed instructions as he gets convicted of sin. But he loses nothing if it's not true. It's just such a gamble. It's such a gamble to say no to that which is good, right, and true. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us you're the source of everything that's good and true. And us human beings down here, we get it mixed up. Get mixed up about what is good and that, but you make it. You said it so straight and frankly as a loving Father on earth and far above, that being an inkling of what you're really like. But you don't withhold precious counsel, instruction, and rebukes and reproofs so we can be instructed in the way of righteousness, because that's exactly like you are. And it's not boring, because it blesses. It helps people. live for the purpose that they were created. Help us rob Babylon more of its subjects and bring Satan and his power to the reality that he has no power over Christ. He has nothing in Jesus, and if we're in Jesus, he'll have nothing in us either, as we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our own testimony. Bless brothers and sisters in their meetings, including online, and anyone that might be coming online now with us and other different platforms that are being used. We thank you that these are contributing to giving the loud cry of the last message of mercy, and that we know what it is. We have more responsibility than anyone else on the planet. Help us believe just how weak we are, what we were just singing. So much the more can you do for us when we do so. Looking forward to Revelation 21 now. Thank you for the fellowship of brothers and sisters. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome once again, brethren and sisters. I'm glad to be back here without any hassle online. Praise the Lord. We looked at, for 2 weeks, verse 15 of Revelation chapter 20. And last week, among other things, we looked at the pre-Advent evaluative judgment being held in the presence of unfallen heavenly beings, and that revealing God's justice in Christ coming to reward the resurrected and living believers with the gift of eternal life. On the other hand, the post-Advent evaluated judgment is conducted before saved human beings and reveals God's justice in Christ coming down to this earth at the end of the millennium to punish the resurrected wicked with eternal death, along with the living fallen angels, including Satan. The ultimate outcome of the final judgment executed by Christ, first at his second advent and then at the end of the millennium, is eternal life for the righteous and permanent annihilation for the unrighteous. So it's Christ's righteousness versus self-righteousness. So that brings us to Revelation chapter, that's roughly what we looked at last week, and that brings us to chapter 21. Now, Brother Bob, on his Let There Be Light ministry, put a good, great prophecy chart. You've probably all seen it. It doesn't look that probably big and easy to read. I'm not sure how you're seeing it. It's kind of small here, but it's really good on the website. It's much better. But there's a, if you can see much of it, there's 30 points of events from the fall of humanity. So the day that Adam and Eve sinned all the way to eternity beyond, you know, number 30 onwards, eternity beyond, that is. Great prophecy chart. In fact, brethren in Fiji are still using, these are the points given on the prophecy chart I'm going through. Brethren, and I don't think it's just in Fiji, but notice Brother Inossi, Pastor Inossi in Fiji, he's using prophecy charts, fantastic looking charts. So I feel like we're back in the 1800s. I think it's fantastic. And no doubt the early 1900s. They must be very helpful, especially when you've got no electricity. I'm not saying they don't, but they do not have the electricity connections we enjoy here in Australia and no doubt other places around the world. Very illuminating. So that brings us to chapter 21. What do you think of that picture? Somewhat artist impression of what it will look like. Of course, it's going to look, a million times even better than that. But this is how it looks. We know what the artist had in mind, and these people are happy. Who would like to read for us? And of course, anyone wants to make questions, comments, share insights, please do so. Homework we didn't know about. Please feel free to interject and share.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Apparently the land area of this earth is going to be greater than at present time. And apparently the seas have fulfilled their reason for being, and they won't have to have seas in the new earth. That's wasted space, you know. The fishies just don't need that much space.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, it's certainly not going to be the sea you and I know about, which of course was caused by the flood. It's kind of funny when people say, hey, do you believe in plate tectonics, like continental tectonics? They make it sound like there's no earth under the sea, and they're still connected, you know. There's all that wasted space down there, and there's mountains of it. In various areas of the sea where there's mountains under the water. Of course, we just can't visit it so easily. Great point, bro. I'll share a spirit of prophecy statement, of course, on this as well, regarding this particular verse. So in Revelation chapter 21, which we're going to be looking at, we just looked at verse 1, we are told, just to set the stage, it's light. The first specific attribute John noticed as he viewed the bride, the Lamb's wife, was her light. Revelation chapter 21 verses 9 and 11. God's glory illuminates the city and making the light of sun and moon superfluous. Revelation 21 verses 23 and 24. Now what's interesting about this is that there's no dark alleys. If it's all light and bright, there's no dark alleys that'll mar the New Jerusalem, for the walls and streets are translucent, and there shall be no night there. Everything will be, you know, like we understand daylight here, but it'll be even better, and we won't go blind. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Revelation 21:25. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. That's actually jumping a chapter ahead, Revelation 22 verse 5. Another point that's brought out, so we have the light brought out, then we've got the construction. And we've got its construction. God has used only the very finest materials, as we'll see, in building the city. The wall is of jasper, a most precious stone, Revelation 21, verses 11 and 18. The foundations are adorned with 12 different gems. Jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprase, jacinth, and amethyst, Revelation 21, verses 19 and 20. These gems are not, however, the primary building material. What is the primary building material? For the most part, God has made the city, its buildings and streets, can you finish the sentence, of a color we don't see often around the place, of gold. Revelation 21 verses 18 and 21, using that precious metal as freely as people now use concrete. This gold is finer. When the ones you and I know, this gold is finer than any now known, for John calls it pure gold, like clear glass. Wow. How many carats? Revelation 21 verse 18. 12 gates, each made of a single pearl, grant access to the city. Now, quote someone else, it says, pearls are the product of suffering. You probably all know this. Pearls are the product of suffering. A tiny irritant slips inside an oyster's shell And as the little creature suffers, it transforms that irritant into a lustrous gem. The gates are of pearl. Your entrance, my entrance, God provided at infinite personal suffering, as in Christ, he reconciled all things to himself. And of course, the saying goes, if we suffer here with Christ, you know, self to be crucified, sin to die out of us, we shall also be glorified with him and reign with him. So just as meaningful today as the list of materials that went into the construction of the city is the fact that the angel who showed the city to John measured its walls, that they could be measured, that they have height and length and thickness, conveys to the modern data-oriented mentality the city's reality. It is real. It is three-dimensional. It is how you and I understand reality today. So it says that, as Brother Dick just read, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the word used for new is kainos, which is to say in quality as opposed to that which is worn or marred. Both occurrences of new in this verse are translations of kainos. Neos, also translated new in the New Testament, like Matthew 9:17, 1 Corinthians 5:7, Colossians 3:10, and other places, refers to newness in point of time. By using the word kainos, maybe John is emphasizing the fact that the new heavens and earth will be created from the purified elements of the old and thus be new in quality, different. Because the new heavens and the new earth are then a recreation, a forming anew of existing elements and not a creation ex nihilo. We're told by 2 Peter 3:13, Peter himself, he said, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, that's God's, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. What a power God has. He doesn't say, oh, that's a mess. I'll just wipe the whole thing out, put it out of existence and create a new one, which of course he can do. But he doesn't choose to do that. The very earth that our Lord Jesus died on, he's going to use, and it's going to be the very metropolis of the universe. Anyone ever watched The Center of the Universe, The Great White Throne, by Robert Gentry and his son, and I think others obviously contributed to it. Very interesting DVD. We have it on the Free Literature Multimedia website in the archaeology science section. Very interesting insights on it. So we have no more sea, like Brother Dick brought out. John, if we think about the heavens and the earth as well, he affirms, John says that like the heavens and the earth and the seas, they're no longer going to exist as we know them now. Now we're going to look at a Patriarchs and Prophets quote, or Prophets and Kings quote actually. That comes from page 44 of Patriarchs and Prophets, of the affirmation that the heavens, earth and the seas will no longer exist as we know them now. Wow. We're told in Isaiah 65:17. Should put this in the room because this is a fantastic Old Testament link with this very quotation, which no doubt John was very familiar with. Where we are told, would someone like to read that for us?
For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Isaiah 6:5, verse 17.
Amen. Can you imagine what you were thinking when that was written? you're living in Isaiah's day. How encouraging. And we have another affirmation. Well, it's not an affirmation. It's a matter of fact with God in the Revelation 21 verse 1. So good to hear your voice, sis, coming across loud and clear. Good to hear you. And I've got a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy from early writings. And I know you're all familiar with it because you've probably all read early writings probably more than once. And would someone like to read it to us all?
Dark, heavy clouds came up and clashed against each other. The atmosphere parted and rolled back. Then we could look upon through the open space in Orion, whence came the voice of God. The holy city will come down through that open space. Early writings 41.2.
Amen. Thank you, dear sis, coming out loud and clear. Hugs to you, dear sister Joan. Now, when I ask the question, now I haven't looked at everything that's said by the saved, but what, I'll just ask the question, maybe you can think of it straight away. What do the saved say when Revelation chapter 21 verse 1 happens? That's a hard question, right? I wouldn't know it if I hadn't looked at it. But I got to put it in the room, but maybe you could have a guess. It's not a huge statement, but it is, it's two words, and I'll put it in the room, and perhaps someone could read it, but I won't put it in just yet, because maybe you're thinking, so I'll just take this one away. So in relation to Revelation 21:1, what do the saved say? Does someone want to read that to us all?
Then the wicked saw what they had lost, and fire was breathed from God upon them and consumed them. This was the execution of the judgment. The wicked then received according as the saints, in unison with Jesus, had meted out to them during the 1,000 years. The same fire from God that consumed the wicked purified the earth. The broken, ragged mountains melted with fervent heat. The atmosphere also, and all the stubble, was consumed. Oh my, if the mountains melt I guess the world's not going to have mountains next time. The atmosphere also, and all the stubble was consumed. Then our inheritance opened before us, glorious and beautiful, and we inherited the whole earth, made new. We all shouted with a loud voice, glory. Hallelujah. Early writings, 54, paragraph 1.
Amen. Yeah, I think when Brother Bob was sharing, thank you, bro. Yeah, I think when Brother Bob started us out on Patriarchs and Prophets, he brings out there was none of that raggedness of, you know, mountains that we see today. Obviously, like, Mount Everest was not there. That was created by the flood. It's got seashells on it. And clams that are closed. When a clam dies, it opens. But there's millions of them closed, which speaks of a flood, a cataclysm. Just like the Bible says. How about that? So you have to, this is what they say, glory, hallelujah, simply. Without the H, we don't pronounce it anyway, do we? And we have, no doubt, beautiful hills. I do know that we definitely had hills, and we're not told the heights of them, but I think mountains look glorious, and no doubt there's going to be better than what we think is glorious. But what a sight that will be, to be safe in the city and see it being recreated right before your eyes, which we're not told how long it takes, but maybe if someone finds that, you know, I don't think we can't tell from the Revelation 21, 22 how long it takes. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if God he did the 7 days, 6 days creation again? Although, you know, he wouldn't be creating humans, obviously, on the sixth day, because, you know, all the saved are in the city and they're gonna build houses and inhabit them. And so, but whatever happens, we're not gonna forget it. And, as the years roll on, they'll feel like yesterday, and yet all other wonderful memories will be made. So I found a couple of more statements, and of course there's a lot that the Spirit of Prophecy has to share on this topic. I've just picked a couple of them dealing with this particular verse. I'll put it in the room, but before I do that, does anyone have anything they want to share on what we've looked at so far?
Yeah, there is a passage, if I remember correctly, where Ellen White talks about how long the wicked burn in the lake. She says some are consumed in an instant. And then she says others will be burning many days. And then she talks about Lucifer, of course, burning the longest after every other individual, including his evil angels, are gone. He still burns on. So we know it's going to be perhaps a week or longer. And, you know, this paragraph goes through a lot of information in one paragraph, but it covers distinct occurrences in that paragraph. For instance, before God creates the heaven and the earth new, the former things are forgotten. So that erasing of our memory of the former things can't occur until Lucifer is consumed. Because, you know, anyway, that's how it has to be. So there's at least, well, a week or so, more than several days, that is in this period, and then finally Lucifer is burned up, then God can erase our memory of the former things, and all things are created new, and then we see this and say, glory, alleluia. So that prospect of having our memory of all that has taken place through at least the last 1,000 years and however much we lived before that time is actually going to be a blessing, because we won't have to conjure back up in our memory, and we'll have perfect memory then, you know. We won't have to relive all the sorrowful and sad things that took place in our past. We can truly enter into paradise the way God intended Adam and Eve to enter in if there had never been Lucifer's fall.
Amen. Amen. Perhaps I didn't ask the question correctly. I was thinking, I don't know how long it's going to take for God to recreate the new heavens and the new earth. But that's a good point. We do know at least days, because Satan will suffer, well, more than a week, we'll say, because he's going to suffer much longer than all the others that suffer before him. Well, he's suffering as well, but he suffers beyond them by days. We did read that. Yeah, that's in a great controversy. I think we quoted that. But it would be interesting. We're not told how long. I mean, God could do it in an instant. He doesn't even have to say anything. But it's curious. It wouldn't be interesting if God decided to do, you know, what Jesus, Father, and the Holy Spirit did when they created the earth, like start without form and void, except, you know, you're in the city. And then day one, and then he says, you know, let there be light. But it doesn't say, that's another thing too, which we're going to look at when we get up to the light subject, because of course the sun was created on the fourth day, but God's not going to create another sun, another moon, other stars. Not that I can find. They're still going to exist. They're just going to be anything that sin has caused, obviously that's going to be removed, and the light, it's going to be much brighter in the city anyways, seven times brighter than the noonday sun. But I guess there's a lot of reasons why it wouldn't fit in for 6 days, because there's things that are already existing. We'll have to see. Another reason we have to be there.
Amen. I mean, you know, when it mentions in verse 1 that God creates a new heaven and a new earth, when you look at, you know, I was looking at the stubble there, Ellen White talking about the atmosphere and got stubble. And that brought to mind the space debris from human entering into space. You know, Voyager's gone past the solar system. And so that new heaven has to include also space. It's not just our atmosphere. It has to include space. And however far the touch of fallen humanity has gone, all of that has to be created new or brought back to its original creation.
Oh, there's another synonym. I mean, there's a synonym, pristine. Yeah, his original creation. Well, perhaps we'll get to understand just how much sin has destroyed, certainly over the 1,000 years, to really appreciate what God has done for human beings, in saving them from that destructive forces that were in play because of sin. Well, here's a couple of quotes from the Spirit of Prophecy dealing with Revelation 21:1. And so I put a line when one starts and another finishes. And you don't have to read the quote. Well, it's up to you. But that's obviously great controversy. Page 67:3. That will be on the bottom of each end of quote as well, roughly the page. Would someone like to start us off?
While the earth was wrapped in the fire of destruction, the righteous abode safely in the holy city. Upon those that had part in the first resurrection, the second death has no power. While God is to the wicked a consuming fire, he is to his people both a sun and a shield. Revelation 20 verse 6 and Psalms 84 11. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Revelation 21:1. The fire that consumes and the wicked purifies the earth. Every trace of the curse is swept away. No eternally burning hell will keep before the ransom the fearful consequences of sin. One reminder alone remains. Our Redeemer will ever bear the marks of his crucifixion. Upon his wounded head, upon his side, his hands and feet are the only traces of the cruel work that sin has wrought, says the prophet, beholding Christ in his glory. He had bright beams coming out of his side, and there was the hiding of his power. Habakkuk 3 verse 4. that pierced side whence flowed the crimson stream that reconciled man to God. There is the Savior's glory. There the hiding of his power. Mighty to save through the sacrifice of redemption, he was therefore strong to execute justice upon them that despised God's mercy. And the tokens of his humiliation are his highest honor. Through the eternal ages, the wounds of Calvary will show forth his praise and declare his power. O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. Micah 4 verse 8. The time has come to which holy men have looked with longing since the flaming sword barred the first pair from Eden, the time for the redemption of the purchased possession, Ephesians 1:14. The earth, originally given to man as his kingdom, betrayed by him into the hands of Satan, and so long held by the mighty foe, has been brought back by the great plan of redemption. All that was lost by sin has been restored. Thus saith the Lord, that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Isaiah 45:18. God's original purpose in the creation of the earth is fulfilled as it is made the eternal abode of the redeemed. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Psalms 37, verse 29, and that was from Great Controversy, page 673 to 674. Here's another quotation. Christ descends upon the Mount of Olives, whence, after his resurrection, he ascended, and where angels repeated the promise of his return. Says the prophet, the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof. And there shall be a very great valley. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. That was from Zechariah 14, verse 5, 4, and 9. As the new Jerusalem in its dazzling splendor comes down out of heaven, it rests upon the place purified and made ready to receive it, and Christ, with his people and the angels, enters the holy city. That's Great Controversy, page 662.
Amen. Thank you, bro. With Jesus at our head, we all descended from the city down to this earth on a great and mighty mountain, which could not bear Jesus up. And it parted asunder, and there was a mighty plain. Then we looked up and saw the great city with 12 foundations, 12 gates, 3 on each side, and an angel at each gate. We all cried out, the city, the great city, it's coming. It's coming down from God out of heaven. And it came and settled on the place where we stood. Then we began to look at the glorious things outside of the city. Now, of course, she's talking about when the new heavens and new earth are made, new heaven and new earth are made. There I saw most beautiful houses. That's the country living. that had the appearance of silver, supported by four pillars set with pearls most glorious to behold, which were to be inhabited by the saints, and in them was a golden shelf. I saw many of the saints go into the houses, take off their glittering crowns, and lay them on the shelf, then go out into the field by the houses to do something with the earth, not as we have to do with the earth here. A glorious light shone all about their heads, and they were continually offering praises to God. And I saw another field full of all kinds of flowers, and as I plucked them, I cried out, they will never fade. Next, I saw a field of tall grass, most glorious to behold. It was living green and had a reflection of silver and gold, and it, as it waved to the glory of King Jesus. Then we entered a field full of all kinds of beasts, the lion, the lamb, the leopard, and the wolf, all together in perfect union. We passed through the midst of them, and they followed on peaceably after. Then we entered a wood, not like the dark woods we have here, but light and beautiful. The branches of the trees waved to and fro, and we all cried out, we will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. We passed through the woods, for we were on our way to Mount Zion. And as we were traveling along, we met a company who were also gazing at the glories of the place. I noticed red as a border on their garments. Their crowns were brilliant. Their robes were pure white. As we greeted them, I asked Jesus who they were. He said they were martyrs that had been slain for him. With them was an innumerable company of little ones. They had a hem of red on their garments also. Mount Zion was just before us, and on the mount was a building which looked to me like a temple, and about it were seven other mountains on which grew roses and lilies. And I saw the little ones climb, or if they chose, use their little wings and fly to the top of the mountains and pluck the never-fading flowers. There were all kinds of trees to beautify the place, the box, the pine, the fir, the oil, the myrtle, pomegranate, and the fig tree bowed down with the weight of its timely figs that made the place all over glorious. Can you imagine the colors? And as we were about to enter the temple, Jesus raised his lovely voice and said, only the 144,000 enter this place. And we shouted, hallelujah. The temple was supported by seven pillars, all of transparent gold, set with pearls most glorious. The things I saw there I cannot describe. Oh, that I could talk in the language of Canaan. Then could I tell a little of the glory of the better world. I saw their tables of stone in which the names of 144,000 were engraved in letters of gold. After we beheld the glory of the temple, we went out, and Jesus left us and went to the city. Soon we heard his lovely voice again saying, come, my people, you have come out of great tribulation and done my will. Suffer for me. Come in to supper, for I will gird myself and serve you. We shouted, hallelujah, glory, and entered into the city. And I saw a table of pure silver. It was many miles in length, yet our eyes could extend over it without binoculars. I saw the fruit of the tree of life, the manna, almonds, figs, pomegranates, are you getting hungry? Grapes, and many other kinds of fruit. I asked Jesus to let me eat of the fruit. He said, not now. Those who eat of the fruit of this land go back to earth no more. But in a little while, if faithful, you shall both eat of the fruit of the tree of life and drink of the water of the fountain. And he said, you must go back to earth again and relate to others what I have revealed to you. Then an angel bore me gently down to this dark world. Brother, perhaps that's William H. Ide, who was present, composed the following verses, which have gone the rounds of the religious papers and have found a place in several hymn books. Those who have published, read, and sung them had little thought that they originated from a vision of a girl persecuted for her humble testimony. Does anyone know this song, by the way, The Better Land? Anyone know how it goes?
Yes. Do you want me to sing it? We have heard from the bright, the holy land. We have heard and our hearts are glad. For we were a lonely pilgrim band, and weary and worn and sad. And that's where I can't remember anymore.
Oh, that was beautiful, bro. It's hard when you put on the spot as well. I mean, I didn't know I was going to say that. I was curious if anyone knew it. So you remembered that much and it's probably going to come back. I know it's there. It's finding the right, file. do you want to read? Well, I guess it's different reading it. So the Brother Bob finished at and weary and worn and sad. They tell us the pilgrims have a dwelling there, no longer are homeless ones. And we know that the goodly land is fair, where life's pure river runs. They say green fields are waving there, that never a blight shall know. So imagine he's learnt of Elamite's vision, that never a blight shall know. And the deserts wild are blooming fair, and the roses of Sharon grow. There are lovely birds in the boughs green. Their songs are blithe and sweet, and their warblings gushing ever new. The angels' harpings greet. We have heard of the palms, the robes, the crowns, and the silvery band in white. Of the city fair with pearly gates, all radiant with light. We have heard of the angels there and saints with their harps of gold, how they sing of the mount with the fruitful tree of life, of the leaves that healing bring. The king of that country, he is fair. He's the joy and the light of the place. In his beauty, we shall behold him there. And bask in his smiling face. We'll be there in a little while. We'll join the pure and the blessed. We'll have the palm, the robe, the crown, and forever be at rest. That's from Two Spiritual Gifts, pages 54 and 55. And a welcome, dear sister Chakra. I think she just came into the room. Good to hear you. I think you said something and got cut off. So glad you could join us. This is the last quote. It comes from Adventist Home, and she says, God created the earth to be the abode of holy, happy beings. That purpose will be fulfilled when renewed by the power of God and freed from sin and sorrow, it shall become the eternal home of the redeemed. Wow. That's Adventist Home, page 540. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of details there, aren't there? Just a few quotations on Revelation 21, verse 1. Wow. I think it's marvelous. You know, as Christians, I remember when I wasn't a Christian, I'm sure I used to think I had some good stumping questions to give to ask Christians because I love debating with them. And I can't help but see it in many people today that they think, well, you know, God, if God exists, all this evil, and they think that's logic. That actually, did you know God said that good existed first and then evil through the free will? And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. And that's what we see, observable evidence. So good first, because it can't be both, because then nothing would distinguish. No, there was good first and then free will and the wrong thing done. And Oh, really? Okay, go ahead, bro. I'll bring it back up.
Yeah, I just got thinking about, okay, how's the rest going? God brought it back. You want me to read the fourth stanza?
Whatever you like, if it helps singing it all over again, I hope you don't forget.
Now let's go down to the fourth.
The fourth. Now I thought you finished there. That's sad. Okay, you direct me.
You want me to start at the first stanza again. Okay. We have heard from the bright, the holy land. We have heard and our hearts are glad. For we were a lonely pilgrim band, and weary and worn and sad. They tell us the pilgrims have a dwelling there, no longer are homeless wives. And we know that the goodly land is fair, where life's pure river runs. They say green fields are waving there, that never a blight shall know. And the deserts wild are blooming fair, and the roses of Sharon grow. There are lovely birds in the bowers green. Their songs are blithe and sweet. And their warblings gushing ever new. The angels' heartings green. We have heard of the palms, the ropes, the crowns, and the silvery band in white, of the city fair with pearly gates, all radiant with light. We have heard of the angels there and sings with their harps of gold how they sing. Of the mount with the fruitful tree of life, of the leaves that healing bring. The king of that country, he is fair. He's the joy and the light of the place. In his beauty we shall behold him there and bask in his smiling face. We'll be there in a little while. We'll join the pure and the blessed. We'll have the palm, the robe, the crown, and forever be at rest.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You could sing it to us on the spot. What wonderful words. You could see he'd read the vision. Directed by that young girl who was persecuted in various ways for sharing it. Praise God what he can do for us when we allow him to do it. Amen. And so we'll pick it, we'll leave it there for today and pick it up next week. There's a couple of things I want to add to this verse before going on to the next verse, looking at some other scriptures, especially in relation to this great, you know, ultimate destination, ultimate home. So I'm looking forward to doing that with you all. And do brothers or sisters have any testimonies they'd like to share, any prayer or praise they'd like to share, comments, questions, insights, please go ahead.
I'm thanking the Lord for another blessed Wednesday night prayer meeting and thank that I'm able to attend here tonight. Usually I'm not. I'm pretty busy this time of night somewhere else on Wednesday nights listening to sermons and things. But thank God I'm able to be here this Wednesday night. And an award ceremony is coming up Sabbath, and it's an art ceremony for, and it's on the Sabbath, and it would have been nice, but it's on the Sabbath to go.
Well, we're glad you're here, sis, and appreciate you coming.
Yes. The war ceremony, but it's for art on Saturday, if that man attend.
Just an update regarding Lucy, she couldn't make it. She's not feeling so well. She says nothing to worry about, but so she was awake. I gave her a bump with a phone call, and she is there. And, she's just not so well. So hopefully that will change shortly. Maybe I have to tell her how much of a young'un she is still. Good news. I got to give away 26 great controversies. One, Let's Search for God, and one, Prophecy Speaks, which is great. And we've got news today, or yesterday, my mum is moving to a nursing home. So it looks like we'll be door knocking on the other side of the river. Got one nice long river, Swan River. And so that'll be good. I'll get to visit her, hopefully, before I go door knocking. Excuse me, which I've been doing since she's been in the hospital. And the good thing, I think I mentioned this to you all, most of you, when you came earlier, before we started, is that, Mum, I got to read again from Steps to Christ, the subject about repentance. And I'm so glad. I hope we get through the whole book and that she would long more to hear the words of God, because they're so unlike the platitudes, the words that men, women, and children can give that go directly opposite to the word of God. Speaking of that, I think it's marvelous when something's going negative for a loved one like mum, and you meet people you would not normally get to see so regularly, and even distant family, like family friends, and had some interesting conversations, especially regarding the state of the dead, last day events, and how worship is where it's all heading, and deception of every kind. So I hope that can continue, actually. I hope we can keep having that talks, because it might be the only opportunity you have, and even if it wasn't, to take up those opportunities, because people need to hear it. We need to review. We need to review and herald what we learn and continue to learn, that we are sanctified through the truth, and it doesn't hurt hearing it every day and dwelling on it, because if you don't, what else have you got left to dwell on? Well, every other thing that leads away from God, and that is not good news. Thank you for keeping Mum, dear Mum, in prayer. We actually had a photo of Mum. Actually, I should. It's a good photo. What does she say? Here she is. This is after a shower before going to the nursing home. Can you see that? Can you see her okay? This is her four stories up from the Midland Hospital. She's got the window. She's got lovely flowers behind her. That's her. She looks quite rather refreshing there. Refreshed. Too small? What about that? Any better? Yep. Yeah, this is her just after a shower before heading to the nursing home today. She looks rather fresh there, rather wide awake. She's not normally looking like that. And, but at times she does certainly pick up. So this is great. Just, thank you for keeping her in prayer. And, I'm so glad we can still communicate with her. She still can understand. She gets very easily confused, and so asking her questions is not the best thing to do. Have to be careful with that. And I want to share with you, my websites went down. Free Literature Multimedia, it took a couple of days to put it back up, but the other two, Truth is Truth Magazine and BibleCrossReferences.org, they took 2 weeks to get back up, and there's still some issues. And so I appreciate it. I'm so glad they got this far. Hopefully they will fix it. I wonder if they could reimburse me. I wouldn't mind having 2 more weeks for free. I mean, not for free, but for the fact that they weren't there. That would certainly help me. It's really rent, isn't it? You're paying. So really glad about that. And so thank you for keeping us in prayer here. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share? Oh, I should stop share so we can see everyone.
I would like to praise the Lord for being a God who hears and answers prayers, even if those prayers were years in the making. He still is faithful. Praise his name.
a scripture song comes to mind. Sister Rose, I think, sang it a number of years ago and has it on a recording. It's a great song. It's Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, they shall be filled. Blessed, blessed are they. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, they shall be filled. Blessed, blessed are they. Matthew 5:6. They shall be filled. Blessed, blessed are they.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And you sang Hosea 10:12, which was a tune I hadn't heard of before. And here's one you may not have heard of before. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, time to seek the Lord. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hosea 10:12. Break up your fallow ground.
Amen. I think I know the brother from, oh, I can't think of his name just now, from the Philippines. He lives in America. And he sung that song with a different tune. I know that one. He sung it with his family, sung it with his family, which was good. It was a catchy tune. Thank you, bro. Oh, yes, that's right. How about that? Say that 10 times to us. Jonathan. Lovely last name. Fantastic. He said, so to yourselves in right, oh no, I'm thinking of another tune from a different thing. I know his one. His was very rousing. He plays the guitar, which is fantastic.
Yeah, Jonathan's father was actually the first, Filipino to understand the present truth, and he started sharing it to his family, and then from there all throughout the Philippines. So Jonathan goes way back in the message.
Are you speaking of Jonathan Bongkayo?
Yes.
Oh, he would have a lot of stories to tell. Thank you for filling me in with that. That's interesting. Just thinking of the Philippines yesterday. Lots of different stories. Actually, you had some interesting stories in your latest newsletter, Let There Be Light Ministries. So good that the newsletter info is keeping up. You know, they did that in the Review and Herald when the before and after the SDA formed, and that was about their only way that they could stay in communication. Of course, personal letters as well, but they kept it up weekly, which is marvelous. That's a full-time job in itself.
James, you spoke of your websites being down and taking a tremendous long time to be put back up. Who does the putting? Don't you operate your own websites?
Well, that would be wonderful if we could, bro. We have to pay someone to make it available online. What do they call that? So it's called Web Central, our one. So we pay for them to hold our information on their servers to provide it worldwide. Do you know of another way? I wouldn't mind reducing costs.
No, I don't. I don't. Never had a website, but I just wondered how it was, whether you did your own or whether you had to pay somebody else.
Yeah, well, I did pay. I mean, I've had the graphic designer's help. He's been so gracious to us in setting it up, but he then puts it on the servers that the company owns who make it available to the internet for everyone to use. Yeah, so that took a while. It's not happened before. One time they lost everything, our websites. And my graphic designer said, well, excuse me, how did that happen? He said, oh, we're sorry. We don't know. That's your issue. Ivan always takes copies, but he just said, that's our issue. That's weird. Look out, you know, make sure you make more than one copy. That's for sure. I remember that song Jonathan sung with his family. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. Break up. Break up, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Thank you, Jonathan. Makes it easy to remember. Thank you, bro. Isn't it wonderful we can have more than one version? There must be a plethora out there. Well, shall we have a season of prayer? And if anyone's impressed to pray, please feel free to pray and I will go last.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your many, many blessings. We thank you that we have a voice to speak what is in our heart. Thank you for putting the love in our hearts for others. We ask that you draw close to Brother James' mother and bless her in the way that you know best. Be with other members of our church family and help them in their daily lives. Heal them if there's a malady. Thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to communicate one with another through the internet. Please keep our internet safe and operational. And thank you for the fellowship that you have provided, because there would not be any fellowship without the love of Christ. Thank you for giving your son so that we could eat of the tree of life with the others saved and be with those who are finishing out the daylight hours. Keep them safe. Be with us who will be retiring for the night. Help us to sleep well. And thank you for the many blessings you bestow on us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father in heaven, thank you so very much that you're in control of thy great work. We pray that you will continue to supply the means to be able to carry forward thy work in all the various places of the world. Please bless those that are donating and enabling thy work to continue forward. Bless them immensely. And please continue to raise up other laborers and send them into thy harvest field, for the fields are indeed white, ready to harvest. Thank you for the great privilege of being part of thy work. We pray for extra grace and strength to be faithful to the truth we know, to allow our light to shine to others and continue to grow in knowledge and in grace, ever looking onward and upward to our Savior every step of the way. Thank you most of all that we're a day closer to heaven and getting off of this wicked world. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Please continue to shut the devil out. Draw thy people closer together with thee and with one another, that we may answer your prayer and show the world that there is indeed a living God who sent his Son to save them from sin and death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And precious Father in heaven, thank you so much that we have had for years the blessings and privileges of religious and civil liberties that we see slowly but surely as one sign of the times going along with other events. May we each, as fellow believers, look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh, and it's our privilege to believe every word that proceeds out of your mouth so that we can claim the promises of those who are in Christ Jesus. It's yes and amen, not no and I can't help you. Thank you that it's yes and amen in Christ, following him where he leads. Please continue to be with the precious souls that showed interest in a variety of ways, including visiting YouTube channels, social media, Present Truth videos in the thousands of many minutes viewed, that the effect of the camp meetings will never be lost on those who've attended and look forward to more, and you'll give them the strength to hold more and plan for the future. We think about the Philippines and the great effort they're putting forth there for a July camp meeting, that they might be successful at putting up that shelter entire, meeting the costs and especially meeting the needs of the people. Jesus, you often preached in the dome, the blue dome called the sky, And it's beautiful. And that night, of course, it's dark. And we know our brothers and sisters, many of them, including Jonathan, have had a long experience in a different part of the world that we don't live in, that has no doubt experiences to share that would bless all of us, as we all have been given a testimony by our own personal experiences. And we pray this increase. We don't think there's little that you will accomplish, but rather there is much that you will accomplish. And we are insignificant, but you make us significant because we are yours. And because of that, we are everything to you. And pray we will help people see they matter extremely to you, and that you would use us to help them see the Christ glory in us, that they matter to us. Help us show them true love and true welfare in the instance of some people or many that are tempted to be lazy in some parts under the circumstances of their country, to realize the best welfare is work if you can work. And to realize there's nothing evil about that. It's a blessing. It's not in disguise. It's a blessing. It's there. Now, thank you for making so plain facts of life that everyone who's honest will acknowledge at some point in their life. Please open up the way for our minds to be exercised into where you're leading in the future, whether it's a one-year plan, whether it's a 20-year plan, whatever it is that you've impressed upon our hearts, that we not give up on the short and long-term things that you see fit that would add to advancing your glory in the earth, and especially fulfilling the last message of mercy, enlightening the earth as the waters cover the sea. Thank you so much for letting us see something of what's to come after all the very few prophecies left are to be fulfilled, and giving us so much encouragement by what has already been, that even so, it will happen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, are there any last thoughts, any takeaways before we get Brother Dick to sing us away?
I'd like to ask Brother Rob a question in private after Brother Dick sings us away.
Did you hear that, Brother Bob?
Yes, I will stay afterwards.
Wonderful. Look at Brother Dick, shining anew. Sister Joan, shining anew. Howdy there, Mrs. California. And Brother With Springs. Hello, Sister Michelle. Well, it's been a privilege. Looking forward to meeting you on Sabbath, Lord willing. We'll get to pick up with Brother Bob, Prophets and Kings. Looking forward to that. Have a rest of a blessed week as you keep looking up with every one of us, keeping things in prayer and in our thoughts. The exercises of our mind might be the thoughts of Christ. Take care. Keep looking up. God bless. Hugs and love all around.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.